This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, good to have you with us. Final hour of power right here on this Thursday, leading up to day one of the NFL draft. Don't forget, Hoffman's got an extra hour tonight, 4 to 8. And his NFL draft special, I think they're going to be doing a mock draft and all that good stuff. Then, at 8 o'clock, Toby Altizer and the youngest in charge. Oh, wait, that's Toby Altizer? Oh, I'm being told that's Toby Altizer. And the second youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. Is R going to be hosting a 5-hour draft extravaganza from 8 o'clock, Green Bay, first round pick, right around 8-12-ish, somewhere in that range. Tennessee, expected to be Cam Ward. He's like minus 20,000 for all of you nut jobs that believe that the gambling market knows what's going to happen. I mean, obviously that's going to happen. Nobody's expecting anything. But Jacksonville, supposedly, is a team to watch, according to Ian Rappaport, to make a bold move, whatever the hell that means.
Just a quick question. Do you think, because I know my expectation. Do you think you're making it through this whole draft tonight?
What do you mean, make it?
Okay.
What do you mean? Oh, like staying awake?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Guy, I mean, I'm 51. I'm not dead yet.
You don't like being well rested?
I do. Okay. And this week is not about rest. Ask anybody that knows me. I'm like a machine. I'm like Italian/Russian machine.
Look at me.
Doesn't break.
Look at me. I'm Rooster. I'm man. I stay up late. I know sleepy.
You sound like the freaking Cookie Monster, by the way. Do you know who the Cookie Monster is? You know that?
Oh my God.
Are you too old for that?
Yeah, like now you're hopping on the bandwagon with Brian, calling me old man.
I heard Brian was giving you some crap earlier.
Yes, he was.
I like that. Brian's starting to settle down and become a little more comfortable.
Yeah, like 4 years difference, and I'm like, need an AARP card over here or something.
I mean, listen, if you need an AARP card, I've got one for you because I'm old enough to have an AARP membership. I am. You're laughing. I am. I'm 51. What do you want from me?
I'm laughing because I think by the end of the show, you'll be able to say AARP.
AARP.
There you go.
You know what? I mix it up with AAA, like the car service and vacation service and whatever. I got that too. I got all sorts of insurances. I got one foot in the ground, but I mean, you know, exactly. All right. So Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Media put out his final mock draft. Listen, again, even Daniel Jeremiah, who's really good at his job, who's completely dedicated to the NFL draft, and who has a lot of people chirping to him, doesn't get it all right, or doesn't even come close, right? So there's a lot of smoke, there's a lot of chat, all sorts of things. So nobody's final draft, mock draft, is even going to probably be 2/3 right. I shouldn't say nobody, but for the most part. There's always surprises, always changes, always things that you really hard to predict. So he's got, of course, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter. He's got Abdul Carter going to AMAC's beloved Giants. Will Campbell going to the Patriots. Ashton Jeanty going at 5 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number 21, it's to the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's got Shedeur Sanders. At number 29, to the Washington Commanders, he's got a corner that I've seen most mock drafts have in the top 15 and plenty have in the top 10. Jahdae Barron from Texas. He says, I have Barron much higher in my rankings. And he does. And he's talking about value and falling at a need position. And he says, Mike Sanderstill and Jahdae Barron are two guys that you can move all over the football field and mix. Now, where did Jahdae Barron finish in his, meaning Daniel Jeremiah's, final rankings? Well, let's look together. He's got Cam Ward at number 8. He's got Jahdae Barron at number 10. Here's what he said. Barron is a talented Swiss Army knife. He aligned outside in the slot and in the box as a dime linebacker for the Longhorns. He made impact plays in every game that I studied. He's a quicker-than-fast athlete with outstanding eyes and conviction. He's at his best when he can play off and see through receivers to the quarterback. He reads the quarterback's drop and anticipates to beat pass catchers to the ball. He doesn't waste steps and has outstanding hands. He lacks top elite speed, but he's always in position, and he is excellent at locating and playing the football downfield. He has good timing and feel as a blitzer. He can adjust from pass to run defense to collect tackles. His batting average as a tackler in space is very high. Overall, Barron excels at taking the ball away and reminds me of Brian Branch when he was coming out of Alabama. So he's got Jahdae Barron as his 10th overall prospect. I just read you what he said, basically a scouting report. Versatile, tough, competitive. Sounds like certainly, again, I haven't watched enough Texas tape, certainly is more comfortable in either off-man coverage or zone. You know, can blitz, can run, but not a speed demon, can tackle, but not an elite tackler. Doesn't seem to be like elite, elite, elite at anything. And that would tell you some of that Swiss Army knife stuff. But a versatile chess piece that you can put, again, inside, outside, you can drop down, as Daniel Jeremiah said, into the box as a dime line. All of that, you know, that's going to appeal to a lot of coaching staffs and probably this one. So that's the deal on Jahdae Barron, who, again, Jeremiah's got at 29. I saw somebody else have him at 29 as well. Trying to remember who it was. But that's who Jeremiah's got at 29, but he had him as his 10th overall prospect. 10th overall prospect. Now, Field Yates, before we get back to the calls, I just wanted to get all of this in because I promised it. So here we go. Field Yates at number 29 projects, not shockingly, a Commanders and Browns trade. So he says, because in his mock through 28 picks, Cam Ward's the only quarterback that's been taken. And, of course, a few quarterback needy teams at the top of round 2, the Browns pounce on them and trade number 33 and 104, a fourth rounder, to the Commanders for number 29. Of course, that helps the Commanders get a sixth pick, and they only drop down from 29 to 33. So that's the trade projection from Field Yates. Mel Kiper says, notes, in the same spot, the Commanders are in a good spot, having turned their roster around quickly, moving down for another pick, still landing a good spot. My top three needs for them are edge pass rusher, corner, and running back. And he says, a few prospects who could fit the Commanders, whether they stay at 29 or end up atop round 2. Donovan Azaraku, Boston College edge rusher, who we've talked about. Kentucky corner Maxwell Hairston, who, again, more zone than man. They like to play a lot of man, or a bunch of man. More man than usually most teams do. Ohio State running back Trevion Henderson. Ole Miss cornerback Trey Amos. And Tennessee edge pass rusher James Pierce Jr. And with that 29th pick, by the way, in the projected trade that we just talked about, Cleveland takes shit over Sanders. So tying everything back together. All right, let's get back to the phones here, and let's get to Lou in D.C. What up, Lou? How are you?
Hey, Rooster, what's going on, man?
What's shaking, Lou? What's going on?
Oh, man, I just heard about that, Gil's son, about him getting an accident, man.
Yeah, that's one of some just terrible. To
him. Yeah, him and his family, man, that's a tough one, man. You know, Gil, he's a local hero around here. You know, he gave us a lot of memories, so just want to shout him out, and hopefully his son pulled through from this horrible accident, man. But, just want to get that out the way. I guess as far as, you know, your boy Shador goes,
Shador. I think you're saying that facetiously. He's not my boy. I just want to make sure that we're clear.
Yeah, he's not. Every team and every GM looking for the next JD, and, you know, we the only one that lucky to be lucky enough to get him, so good luck with that. He's a show off, man. He's driving a $300,000 car in college, making everybody else look small. And he's just not the type of player that you want. I don't know, man. I just can't see him being, you know, drafted in the first round. I mean, unless he, you know, somebody's desperate team thinking, you know, he's going to come in and be that quarterback. They think they wish he could be the franchise quarterback. They like the one we got around here. So I just don't see him as, you know, I don't know, being successful in the NFL. I just think he's a too much show off, and, you know, he like to wear his chain. I mean, you know, that's him, that's his money, but that's the new generation. And I guess if that's what he wants, then that's him. But, you know, we're lucky to have JD, and he's not about that. He comes in and, you know, it's all about team and, working on his craft. And I'm just grateful for that. And, whoever select him, good for them. And I wish him nothing but the best. But he's just, you know, if we was on the clock and, you know, you telling me he's, you know, nah, I wouldn't want that guy in anywhere around here. So, yeah, he's just not my type. And like I said, he's too much a show off, and I don't see him putting that work in, just like every, you know, just like JD is. I could see him being like the guy from Clemson. You know, he had a good season. I mean, he had a few good seasons in Houston, Deshaun Watson, but other than that, he's going to fall off. So he's just all hype. I just don't, you know, when he comes to the league, it's going to be different. You know, you're not going to be running around and holding the ball too long. You're going to be out of the league. You're going to get a couple hits, and you're going to be done. So he's just not going to be worth of, if it was us picking him, I don't think he'd be, you know. Yeah, that's what I want to get that out the way. And, but other than that, man, Caps pulled it off yesterday. Logan Thomas, man, hell of a performance, man. He's especially in the late, ferocious Montreal try to make a comeback, and he kicked that little puck, man. That was something. Shout out to him, man. He came up big for us, and hopefully he continue to do that. And hopefully he's good. And I know he got injured or something, but I don't want to hold you up, Chris. I know you got other callers.
Wait, who got injured? Logan Thompson, you mean?
Yeah.
He was shaking his arm, and it's a good point. I should have asked him this. He finished the game. He stayed in the game, no problem. But he was shaking his arm pretty good after a save. Yeah. I think it may have gotten him on the wrist or maybe in that unprotected area. But I forgot to ask him. They didn't say anything about it, of course. They wouldn't have been probably all that revealing. But he was at the post-game press conference, and he appeared fine. So, and he finished the game.
Good. Good to hear that, man. Appreciate you taking my call, Chris.
Sounds good.
Let's go tonight. I want the end, man. Our GM get one of those DN.
I got you.
You want Shamar Stewart, but I like his teammate.
Well,
I like 11, man.
Scorton, you mean?
Nick
Scorton?
Number 11 or number 4?
I don't know what number he is off the top of my head. Nick Scorton is who I assume you're talking about.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Scorton. Yeah. I mean, Scorton's Scorton's got a pretty good spin move that I've seen. I think he's probably a better finisher. I like Shamar Stewart at 29 because I think the value represents matches kind of the athleticism and what you could potentially get out of him. Again, I know he's not a finished product, number one. Number two, his statistics are alarming, or lack thereof. Now, quarterback pressures, but he's got to learn how to finish. We'll see. I mean, obviously, I think Scorton's got I can't remember if it was injury or
– But if they're going to go with DN, you might as well go with – I know the Marshall guy, he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some other guys up there.
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of guys, you know, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of guys. It just depends on who's there. And that's why I say if there's more than one of the perceived, like, guys that are going in that ballpark, they're probably likely to trade down. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lap in D.C. What up, Lappy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Brunson?
What's up,
Lap? Man? Shout out to Gilbert, man, and his family, man. You know, that's devastating. Like Lou said, you know, Gilbert's one of our heroes out here, so... I know he's not your best friend, Rooster, but we love Gilbert, man.
Well, nobody cares about that. I probably shouldn't have even mentioned that. I mean, you know, the reason why I said that is because, you know, I'm not a, you know, I mean, honestly, he has said some really, really, really harmful things about people with disabilities, in addition to the gun incident. And some other things. So I don't know him personally. I've met him once or twice. That's it. I mean, so this really is not about me. I shouldn't have even mentioned it.
Are you going to watch the documentary?
Which documentary?
Gilbert's got a documentary on Netflix, I think.
Oh, you know what? I think I did hear about that. You know,
go ahead and watch it.
Maybe at some point, brother, but you know, my life is pretty intense, so I don't have a whole lot of time for extra TV, but I'd like to get to a lot of things.
With this draft, like I was telling Kevin earlier, I think we should trade down and get some more picks, man.
I mean, yes, that is the ultimate, I think, goal. In most people's eyes and probably in their eyes. Now, Diana Russini, for what it's worth, did mention that certainly that is what they would like to do. Will they do it? Will they find a partner? I don't know. And again, that's why I keep saying, like, we probably won't even have a good idea of whether they will try hard and probably prioritize trading down until we get to like 27. Yeah. And what I mean by that is if there's three or four edge defensive end prospects, I think you trade down. If Shedeur Sanders is still there and Jackson Dart is still there, I think there are going to be teams that are trying to trade up. So that makes it easier to trade down. So again, while I would say overall the arching feeling that I think most of us have is they should trade down and they will try and trade down. That part is easy. The problem is making it happen. And until we get to, again, 26, 27, somewhere in that range, and you kind of have a feel of who might still be there, who could still be there based on other team needs and whatever, that's when I would expect the rumors. That's when I would expect the phones to start heating up at Command Land.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lap. Yeah, appreciate you.
I'm excited.
Thank you,
bro.
Sir. Yep. Appreciate it. All right, 21 minutes after the hour. We'll take a timeout. Tony in Silver Spring will come right back to you, and you'll be first up after the break. 301-230-0980 if you want to hop in. We got about 35 minutes or so to do it. We've got Dumb Dumb of the Day, and you might know who the Dumb Dumb of the Day is. You might. We'll figure it out together next. Not next. Soon. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us. And down the stretch they come. Final 25 minutes or so, 27 minutes of the radio program, along with AMAC on the other side of the glass. I did just confirm with Craig Hoffman. Scheduled at 4 o'clock is his pick-by-pick mock draft with Linnell Willingham. Craig's going to do an extra hour, 4 to 8 tonight, along with Anthony Haney. 8 o'clock to 1 a.m., Linnell Willingham and Toby Altizer are going to be anchoring our first round pick-by-pick coverage all night long. So you have 9 hours of exclusive draft coverage from basically Craig might sprinkle in something else, I'm not sure. But from basically 4 o'clock until 1 a.m. and we don't even know if the Commanders are going to make a pick. we just don't know. All right, before I get to Ben Standing's picks, I wanted to get in Tony in Silver Spring. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you doing? I hope
doing
everything's
good,
okay.
Yeah, thank you. Same to you. Thanks for the call.
What I wanted to say was, I mean, I know, you know, that the Commanders need to upgrade their defense. I have to say, at the 29th pick, you know, if he's still there because of what I've heard in terms of people falling and all of this, I think that I think it would be great if they could do like the Bengals did with Joe Burrow and Chase and T. Higgins, get a young receiver that Daniels can grow with.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I particularly have in mind is Luther Burden. He may have fallen and everything else, but I don't know why. But I almost guarantee you he's going to be at the next level in the NFL. Of all the receivers, he's going to be the one. You know, he's going to be the next Chase, you know, whatever his name is in Cincinnati.
Jamar Chase? You think he's going to be that? You think he's going to be that good?
I think he'll be the best receiver at the next level out of this class.
Mm-hmm. So
I know Kevin
Sheehan really, really, really likes Luther Burden. I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch enough Missouri football this year to have like a tremendous feel on him. I know he's quick, shifty, works inside the slot. I know he's got versatility. To me, this is just me. I don't see big time there. But I could be wrong. He is good after the catch. He forces a lot of missed tackles. He's got, like, some shiftiness. I got it. I don't think he's, like, a deep-speed burner. I think
he's...
Well,
he ran a 4.41.
Well, just because you run a 4.41 doesn't mean you're a deep-speed burner, though. You know, I mean, okay, you know what I'm okay. saying. Like, he can run fast.
Yeah.
He can run fast or without pads on. Can you run fast past NFL cornerbacks? And not every guy that's 4.41 can, you know?
He,
I mean, not every guy that's 4.28 can run past.
No, good points. I will say that he was successful mm-hmm. in the SEC.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great year last year, but there were a lot of things with the team that
yeah.
possibly may have contributed
to
that.
No, that's fair. That's
However,
fair. That's fair.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I understand the Commanders wanting to upgrade and their need to upgrade their defense at a couple of positions. And it would be great if they could get this Barron guy to be – to go along with Sanders still. But I could envision, you know, like, I could envision McLaurin and Burden on the outside and with Debo and McCaffrey on the slot.
I'm going to take you one step further, Tone. Ready for this? According to PFF, now I think he's a shifty player. I think he's great after the catch. I think he's fast, not elite fast, but whatever. I think he's more slot-ish than outside in the NFL. But PFF, whatever you think of them, in their analysis on Luther Burden, shades of Debo Samuel. So if they evaluate, meaning the Commanders, to be a younger version of Debo Samuel, it could be like a natural kind of progression fit if Debo doesn't work out and stay with the team long term past a year. And that doesn't mean that doesn't mean he's got the physicality of Debo Samuel. I don't know if he has the physicality of Debo Samuel. But you know what he probably is he's a better route runner. He's a better receiver. He's better after the catch. Even though Debo in his prime was really good after the catch, I think that was more a physicality thing as opposed to an elusive or speed thing. So, you know, again, I don't think you're crazy for thinking. And listen, at 29, if he's there, absolutely, I would say he's in the hopper. Now, would I want that? If you're asking me, no. I wouldn't want that. I kind of like Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, who we talked about earlier, who's apparently moving up. Thank you, Tone. Appreciate it. I got to let you run. We have a final trending alert right here on this Thursday, day one of the NFL draft. When we come back, Ben Standing's final picks for the Commanders and more on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, indeed. It is day one, night one of the NFL draft. A three-day spectacular in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Starts at about 8 o'clock. The Commanders with the number 29 overall pick as of right now. We will have extensive draft night coverage for you. It starts with Craig Hoffman at 4 o'clock. He'll be doing a mock draft, a pick-by-pick on-air mock draft. With Linnell Willingham. Then Craig will be going an extra hour until 8 o'clock. Then Linnell and Toby Altizer will anchor our pick-by-pick coverage right here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, and more, the team980.com as well for tonight's first round. Again, the Commanders at number 29. We do not know if they're even going to make that pick. Meanwhile, the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, Caps off on their way to Montreal already for a game three tomorrow night at Bell Center, up 2-0. Florida looks to take a 2-0 lead over Tampa Bay. In Tampa, 6:30 first up tonight on TBS. Toronto and Ottawa, the Leafs lead that series 2-0 in Ottawa tonight on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock. 9 o'clock Eastern time on TBS, or after the Florida-Tampa Bay game, it's Vegas looking to take a 2-1 series lead in Minnesota. And the nightcap, 9:30 Eastern time on ESPN2. Winnipeg looking to take a 3-0 lead over St. Louis. NBA playoffs, 1-1, Detroit and the Knicks. TNT first up, 7 o'clock, 9:30 TNT right after the Knicks and Pistons is Oklahoma City looking to take a 3-0 lead in Denver. And the Clippers final up on the night, NBA TV for that one, series tied at 1-1 at 10 o'clock. The Nationals look for the sweep tonight against the Baltimore Orioles at Nationals Park. You can hear it on 106.7 The Fan pregame coverage at 6:15. Mackenzie Gore toes the rubber for Washington. And that's what's trending.
So that's the problem with the Knicks. And that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. And that's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
Somehow Paulie still finds a way to weasel his way into the show. Not only with that sound drop, which is funny, but also by dropping a ridiculous tweet that he got a bunch of his cronies to support. At about 1:45, that I was the villain for talking about the Capitals taking a 2-0 series lead on day one of the NFL draft. Now, maybe some people in this building would agree with you. My show. Capitals are in the playoffs. Capitals took a 2-0 series lead. We're allowed to talk about more than just the NFL draft. Okay? So anyway, before we get to a final phone call or two, Nate, I'm coming at you. Just hang tight. My guy Ben Standing, not on The Athletic, but at BenStandig.com. BenStandig.com. He did his own personal mock draft, an entire first round. Who does he have the Commanders taking at number 29? Guy we just mentioned just a little while ago. Nick Skorton, defensive end from Texas A&M. I knew that he was high on Nick Skorton. Now, I don't know what he's been told, I don't know. But here's what it reads. He goes, this position requires no explanation. Of course. He said, the player might. Public big boards typically rank the 2023 Big Ten sack leader, which is Skorton, in the second round. But the trend is moving toward my long-stated and optimistic assessment. Skorton isn't an electric athlete. And again, Shamar Stewart is. But a high floor, relentless defender on run and passing downs who was a team captain at 19. Sounds an awful lot like what the Commanders are looking for, right? Although they love the athletes who are captains, this is good athlete, not electric, team captain at 19. If Washington passes on the player with significant, as Ben puts it, commander vibes, Kansas City or Philadelphia could pounce. Henderson was nearly the call. That's Trevion Henderson. It will bum me out to not see him join Jaden Daniels in the read option, along with some cornerback candidates, Siobhan Revelle Jr., for sure, is how Ben puts it. Donovan Ezeraku and Abuka from Ohio State are in my final group of candidates, if available. Oregon offensive tackle Josh Connerly would be a fascinating call. As for making the pick, the trade down is certainly the overall preference, especially with the Commanders holding only 5 picks. I can act as God and make it happen, and I have, sometimes, over and over again. He's got links to other things, like his Athletic beat writer mock draft. He said, root for quarterbacks and offensive linemen of interest on the board for this path. That includes you, Adam Peters. Ooh. Ben, pointing the finger at Adam Peters. I like it. Yeah, Scorton's an interesting prospect. I think if you're looking for a more NFL-ready, more sure thing, Scorton could be your guy. I think if you're looking for a guy that holds up a little bit better against the run over, say, a Donovan Ezeraku, boom. I think if you're looking at a guy that finishes better than Shamar Stewart and maybe isn't quite the twitchy athlete, Nick Scorton could be your guy. I don't love Trevion Henderson here. I know everybody seems to like him. I know the Commanders are interested. I don't love Trevion Henderson here. Again, that's part of what Craig and I talked about with Kevin as we did a... most of the station chat at 11:40 today on the Odyssey app. You can check it out. Podcast on the Kevin Sheehan Show, theteam980.com. All three of us got together and I said, Trevion Henderson, I would be kind of disappointed because I don't see him as a 15 plus. Now, Kevin said 20. I would say 15 to 18 is probably about the max. I don't even know if I see him in that role and as a third down back and as an explosive pass catcher and runaway threat and in pass pro. I don't know if I see, like, and we had John Keim on yesterday from ESPN, right? And he's a big Ohio State guy, went there. He thinks Trevion Henderson is an every down player, but you have to use him judiciously. Basically, what you're saying, and I think Craig made this point earlier when we were doing this spot, is if you want me at 29 to take a part-time player, not really what is of interest to at least Craig, and me, I would say the only part-time player I would be interested in is if, say, you drafted Ezeraku and you said, okay, early in your career while we bulk you up, and get you used to the NFL, you're going to be used essentially only in a third down pass rush package. That to me, I don't know if I want to go at 29 with a guy like Trevion Henderson when I don't have, like people say, Jahmyr Gibbs, A, has ungodly speed and athleticism. They went from Jamal Williams to David Montgomery, so they had a plan. Are the Commanders going to be able, with Brian Robinson being banged up a lot last year, and, you know, good at times, not good at other times? Are the Commanders, Chris Rodriguez couldn't even get activated for the final four games of the year, including the 3 playoff games. Are the Commanders going to have that guy? They didn't sign that guy during free agency. Everyone's on one-year deals. I don't see it quite like that. Maybe I'm missing something. Just real quickly, in his Athletic beat writers thing-majig, he had the Saints moving up with the Commanders and taking Jackson Dart and trading number 29 of the Saints for number 40, number 93, and number 184. That's almost exactly the same trade proposal we made the other day. I don't think we did 184. I said maybe an extra pick, and I said ideally I would need an extra pick, but I don't think I actually went to 184. But 40, 93, and 184. And then, just real quickly here, I guess, at 40, he had them taking, Nick Scorton. All right, let's squeeze in Nate in Upper Marlboro here before the end of the show. Nate, I got about a minute and a half for you. Go right ahead, pal. How are you?
All right, cool. What's up, man? It's been a minute.
What's shaking?
And I'm going to make it real quick
for
you. About the draft tonight, I'm going to throw a little different angle on. I ain't really heard these names too much, but the two people that I really want, one is Scatterbo.
Cam Scatterbo.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get him. Yeah, I hope we can get him.
Yep.
And another guy, I don't know if anybody talked about him. We'll probably we'll have to get him in the later rounds, but Gabe Taylor, man. I hope we get Gabe Taylor.
Oh, Sean's brother, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did he finish up at Rice or did he go somewhere else? It's so hard to remember everything.
He finished up at Rice. Okay. I tried to keep up with him.
I mean, listen, you want to take a late round shot, Bloodlines? I mean, we all know how cool of a story that would be, right? I wouldn't be opposed to it. Let's talk about something that's kind of more realistic, though, in terms of Scatterbo. The only thing that, I worry about him is, does he have that kind of ability to be a big chip guy? I think he can break tackles and make more out of something than it was originally designed or blocked for. I know that, but I see him, basically I see him as almost a better version of Brian Robinson, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's what I see.
I can see that. I see him kind of as a bigger, better version of, who's the guy we got right now, the older guy.
Not Brian Robinson.
Austin
Eckler,
you
mean?
Diego.
Oh, Austin Eckler? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't think he has. He's not the speed demon that Austin Eckler is.
No, he's definitely not the speed demon.
Yeah.
But as far as like catching the ball and
his
IQ of the game, and he can break tackle. I think he can do that.
I'll give you this. I mentioned the breaking tackles. You just mentioned the broken tackles. Second in the country amongst all running backs, missed tackles forced per PFF at 103. And third in the country.
I did not know that. I ain't surprised.
Yeah, third in the country, 1202, 1,202 yards after contact. So, I mean, what you're looking at is, again, a guy that doesn't probably have that explosive long ball speed, but he's got a bunch of qualities and a bunch of characteristics you like. I would say this, if you don't go running back at one or in the first round or the first pick, wherever that winds up, at 61, I would definitely be interested in Scatterbo. No doubt about it. I got to run. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it. Good call.
Yep.
Good to hear from you. We'll take a final timeout. We'll make way for Craig Hoffman in a sec, but a quick dum-dum of the day when we return on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right. We make way for Craig Hoffman in just a second. Again, a four-hour spectacular, including a mock draft with Liddell Willingham. He's in the house, who's anchoring, along with Toby Altizer, our draft coverage starting at 8 o'clock tonight. One bit of news that we forgot to get in. Shannon Sharp is stepping aside from his ESPN duties after all the allegations and whatever, which we haven't talked about because I have no interest in any of that. Two, here's the dum-dum of the day. It's me. It's me. Last night in the Capitals locker room, I did not have dinner. I decided to make a cup of instant noodle soup. I put a coffee lid on it because that's what you do with hot liquid. I brought it down to the Capitals locker room. The lid cracked outside of the Capitals locker room and burned my hand. I got into the Capitals locker room, somehow did not throw it out. And after talking to Tom Wilson, the lid cracked again and spilled all over the floor and nearly burned Tom Wilson's feet. Tom Wilson offered to help me. I said, no, it's okay. Thank you. I got it. Very nice of you. I'm a bleep up, although I said the word. So for that, for almost burning Tom Wilson's feet, for carrying a instant cup of noodles into the Capitals locker room last night, your boy is the dumb of the day. Me, Craig Hoffman, Anthony Haney, Lonnell Willingham coming up, 4-8, mock draft. And then our draft coverage tonight. Good job by AMAC. Thanks to you guys, Joe Beninati, tomorrow afternoon from Montreal and all the reaction to round one. See you tomorrow at 1 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.